The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined, as always, by our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Hey,
what's going on, friend? How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, friend. How are you?
I'm good. Second time talking to you this week, so, you know, we've been, you know, very in touch this week and in tune with our wrestling watching.
Yes, we have.
So, I know you're going to enlighten us on this week's SmackDown. I don't have any news for you, so if you want to just jump right into it at this time, Miss Didi Jonet is going to tell us what happened on Friday Night SmackDown.
Okay, so Friday Night SmackDown happened on Friday night. I know you're shocked. They came to us from the Performance Center. Also a shock, I know. They like to switch it up, never. They started with Miz TV. Miz and Morrison are in the ring. They welcome us to the show. Otis, big boy Otis, arrives. And he's being Otis. I imagine that means he had on, like, booty shorts and a crop top.
Very much a crop top.
Yeah. I think we've established that Otis wears less clothes than Mandy.
They're in a race, for sure.
Yeah, clearly wears less than Sonya. And actually, most of the women's locker room. Which, you know, body positivity. We're big fans. But Otis is not impressive to the Miz and the Morrison. It's just, it's not their body type that they prefer. It's fine. He breaks the chair while sitting because he's fat, you know? Also, how he broke all the ladders at the Money in the Bank ladder match. Which, can we just say I knew he would? Because he's a big'un. He's a big boy. Actually, have we ever had, like, a viscera size like dude in like a ladder match? No, probably.
No, not really.
Yeah, makes sense, huh? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why it took Vision to pick Otis as the Money in the Bank winner that he is. He puts over his win, much like I did, but claims that Mandy is his biggest win because, you know, blonde. They make jokes, and Otis reveals he has a sandwich in the case because, of course, he does. Miz and Morrison mock him. They see pics of Otis as a baby. I'm sure he looks exactly the same. They make fun of his size, call him pregnant, and say he should give up Money in the Bank like Becky gave up her title. Oh, that's not nice. Because, you see, Becky is the pregs, but Otis is not. He's just fat. Otis praises his mother because, you know, this is still Mother's Day week-ish, kind of, sort of. They continue to make fun of him with more pics. Miz says he can't take him seriously, yells at him and says Otis won Money in the Bank by luck. Well, if I was Otis, I would say I can't take you seriously. Coral used to beat you up on a daily basis, sir. Bringing back the real world times. Because, see, the Miz is on the real world. Young people don't even know what that is. Anyway, he's embarrassed Otis could be the face of SmackDown and wants a tag match with Tucker. But Tucker has the shits and isn't here. Tucker got the Rona. They tell him to find a partner and they will teach him a lesson. That's weird. I wonder why Tucker isn't there. I wonder if he got the Rona.
Yeah, I don't know. They just may be trying to, you know, increase the Otis, you know, storyline. Single him out more.
Poor Tucker. Anyway,
Hold on. Let's expand on this. I told y'all from the beginning, even though you had the vision and the foresight and the
wherewithal.
Yes, the ovarian fortitude to pick Otis as your Money in the Bank winner. I was the one who told y'all that, yes, Otis was the star.
Yes, you did.
Yes. So
early.
Yes.
You were early too.
Yes.
he really did break that bottom rung. Fat ass sodas. I'm sorry. Sammy, for whatever reason, has been stripped of the IC title. I'm going to blame the Rona, because the Rona is to blame for everything. But because they have stripped... Actually, you know what it is? They don't let multiple gingers prosper at one time. So if you had Becky, she pregnant. You got Otis. You can't have Otis and Sammy. So Otis is who we got. Samito deserves better. But anyway, like I said, they stripped him of his title. And to crown a new champion, there shall be a tournament, which will start tonight. The first match of said tournament is the guy they call King Corbin versus Randy Savage's unknown child, Elias. I am going to push this narrative as far as I can take it. Like, I thought I did really great with the Adam Cole is HBK's baby boy, but I think that this one is much more accurate. I really do. Like, have you seen them? They look like the same person. Just like switch Elias's beard a little more. It's there. His hairline is better. But like, it's the same face. It's the same.
They say everybody has a twin, Dee Dee.
Yeah, especially if you're related to them. I kid, but I don't. You know, they say that there's some girl that looks like me. They said that even when I was back in high school, and I was like, who? Never seen her. Don't know her. They're like, yeah, you know her. Who? Don't know her. No. Never did figure out who they were talking about, but a few people told me about it. So, yeah, maybe he just so happens to look like this guy who just so happens to be a wrestler. Sure. Or it's his father. Who could tell? Anyway, so Corbin and Elias have a match. Elias unloads with strikes. If you recall, Elias was the one who hit Corbin at Money in the Bank with the guitar, because fuck you, right? Right. So that's the other reason why they're having this match, because they still are doing the Peter and the chicken shit. So Elias unloads with strikes, kicks, and the clothesline follows. He hits a knee drop and heads up top. He misses on his elbow drop, though. Corbin fires back. Elias counters but runs into a spinebuster. For another two count, Corbin takes Elias up top, but Elias slips out, and Corbin counters into a chokeslam for two. He follows with strikes, he's talking shit, and he breaks the guitar. However, Elias hits a knee strike and a cradle for the win! For the win!
They're appealing to your sensibilities already.
First of all, anytime Elias wins is a great time for me.
I understand.
I have been a fan of that man since he walked around the back doing absolutely nothing.
Best gimmick ever.
It was great. It was like, what are you doing? Doesn't matter. Nothing at all. Great. Didn't even matter. Just like, all right. It's like, what? Yo, Otis's beard is nice and gingery. You love to see it. I'm sorry. I'm watching SmackDown now. We'll get into later why I didn't watch when everybody else did. I was protesting. Anyway, Sheamus refuses to tag with Otis tonight. I don't imagine that Otis asked him. Otis meets with Mandy. He still can't find a partner, so Mandy tells him to ask Ron. See? Smart people. Otis agrees. It's the hacker. The hacker's a Caucasian man. I saw the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Ali, because mm-hmm. Ali's too dark. That's a Caucasian hand. But that's all we know. The hacker says that he is everywhere, sees all, and hears all. He is the truth, and no one is safe, leading to random videos of all of the stars. Give me your best guess.
Chad Gable.
Is this a kayfabe guess or like a guess?
That's a guess.
Okay. Trying to remember what that hand looked like. I feel like Chad Gable's hand is a little more feminine. Delicate. Who's the hacker? I don't know who the hacker is. All I know is the hacker's a white guy. But it could be like a white girl. It could be Charlotte. You know, they put her in every storyline anyway. Who knows? Oh, what if it's somebody from NXT? What if the hacker is Tommaso? No, it's not Tommaso. Anyway, back to non-speculation. Otis is talking with Braun and asks him about tagging with him. Braun questions his motives. Bitch, to win. Fuck you mean. Braun says he respects him and says that he'll think about it because they're both big and have good beards. You have to respect the beard.
Braun made Otis look tiny.
Braun is a big boy.
Yeah. He's
tall. And the thing about Otis is like, Otis is wide.
Yes.
But Braun is big. Oh, shit. So Otis been Otis since he was a baby. My God. Shit. Yeah, she better roll that stomach. Otis, yes. And his crop top. Yes.
I told you that outfit was getting smaller and smaller.
Listen, I'm a fan. I believe you should wear a crop top if you want to wear a crop top. You don't have to be skinny. Anyway, Naomi and Dana Brooke have a match. And the reason why I didn't see SmackDown was because I was watching something else. The reason why I'm just now watching it was because I saw this on the Twitters. So, Naomi and Dana lock up, and Naomi cradles Dana for two. There's a clothesline that follows, and Dana cradles Naomi for two. She follows with a back handspring elbow, and Naomi counters the second and heads up top. There's a high cross that follows, but Dana counters into a cradle for the win, and I riot.
Yeah, I haven't really been vocally into a match on SmackDown as much as I was into this one. Like, when Dana was getting those near falls, I was like, you better kick out Naomi. Oh, she was looking good, too. She had these Afro puffs going.
Oh, Naomi's a bad bitch.
Yeah, but I think she about to go to the dark side.
I would like to see it.
I think they're about to dim the glow. What you think?
I mean, we can glow in dark colors. Ain't that what the brood used to do? Let's just glow red and dark. Wait. What colors did it used to come out when it was like the Undertaker and all them when they were sacrificing people? Didn't it glow? Yeah. Oh, like a purple glow. Like a purple glow. It could be a purple glow. Yes.
But yes. Yes.
A demon glow. No.
This was like, oh, as soon as the match started, my exact comment out loud was, she better not lose to Dana Brooke two times in a row. See, then, when she lost to Dana Brooke two times in a row, my exact comment was, this is some bullshit.
Correct. Yes. And that is why I decided not to watch it after Drag Race went off. Because I like to watch shows where the black people prosper. Okay? Thanks. So, y'all's favorite Charlotte arrives. And they hype the brand to brand invitational. I don't know what that means. Charlotte
where people can, I think it's like four times a year, people from other brands can come over.
Yo, Elias is attractive. I'm sorry, I don't care about Charlotte. And Elias in this shirt is giving me everything I need. Like, it goes in right at the shoulder dip, so it makes his arms look even bigger. He got on the tight pants. Ass ain't flat. You know, you really love to see it. Got the scarf on his head, got a full beard, not patchy. What more could you want from your faves? Anyway, back to that girl, Charlotte. She calls herself the hardest working woman in the industry, working all three brands, claiming people want more of Charlotte. I'm sure Vince actually thinks that. She says she's blonde, yep, an athlete, sure, and a flair, accurate. She says she's won 5 of her 12 championships on SmackDown and should be inspiring everyone as their queen. Is there a queen to be? Anyway, why are you laughing?
Because I'm just visualizing Shaolin Shogun from the Hill Heat podcast just bobbing his head going, yes, yes. Recognize her as your queen.
Oh, he's a Charlotte
stan. Oh, big time Charlotte stan.
Hmm. Anyway, Bailey arrives and Banks is with her. Bailey mockingly welcomes Charlotte and says it's not so nice to see her. Charlotte is not impressed with this reaction, and Bailey says Charlotte was here saying the same thing and reminds us about the last time Bailey beat her. Charlotte says it took her being KO'd and a bad makeover to beat her. She did get that good old haircut. Bailey praises herself as a Grand Slam champion. Tell Charlotte to go back to NXT or Raw. This is their show, not Charlotte's. And Bailey reminds us she beat Charlotte. Says it took her being. Bailey praises herself as the Grand Slam. Tell Charlotte to go back to NXT or Raw. I'm sorry. These were technical difficulties. This is their show, not Charlotte's. And Bailey reminds us she beat everyone, including Charlotte. She tells Charlotte to get out. Charlotte says Banks made Bailey relevant in NXT. Well, that might be accurate. And she's the only reason Bailey is champion. I don't know about that part. Charlotte says she and Banks main evented together and wonders why she's in Bailey's corner, an afterthought. And Bailey interrupts and says they are great friends. Bailey wants to fight. And Charlotte says Fox would love it. And then asks Banks if she's just happy being Bailey's lackey. That's not nice.
Charlotte Flair did actually, she was talking big time shit in this thing.
Well, we love a talker.
And she was like, the executives, it's been hashed out through the ratings, through the numbers, that they need Charlotte Flair on these shows. And she's actually not lying.
That's so disappointing.
The people that, for some reason, like, remember when the stuff with Rhea first started going down? Mm-hmm. The ratings went through the roof on NXT. And so they were like, okay, well, we'll just drop her over here and we'll do what we can do with that. And then, you know, now that that's kind of been like, not really slowing down, but they're kind of like, okay, well, we can't keep her over there full time. We need to bring her back over here because... guess what? SmackDown ain't doing so good right now. So, drop her in over there.
Listen, if she still was lying and was like, this is for the women who want to be me and the men who come to see me, I would cackle. Like, go in, Charlotte. Okay, anyway. So, Braun is warming up and he is still considering being Otis's tag team partner. What you warming up for if you're not gonna be his partner? You don't got a match schedule anyway.
He says he was thinking, so that's how he was, you know, that's how he thinks is what he said.
He works out by thinking.
That's what he said. I'm just taking the man at his word.
I feel like that's an accurate thing for like strong people. Like, you be at the gym, yeah, it helps me think. Like, fuck out my face. I think on my couch. And it's clear, too. Anyway, okay, so there's a Forgotten Sons video. I forgot about them already. They chose to serve their country, but weren't welcomed home as heroes. Who do you think you are? The Tuskegee Airmen? Get out of my face. They were mocked and will welcome you with closed fists. What does this mean? You were in the military and nobody gave you a parade? Like, you know, I don't have it for crying Caucasian men, only if they're alive. I don't care otherwise. Okay, so Miz and Morrison talk about Otis trying to recruit Braun and make fun of Braun being dumb and that he can't hang with them. I don't feel like that was a smart choice. Like, maybe make fun of Braun after he says no to Otis, not before. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. I don't know. Anyway, the next match in the IC title tournament matches Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak, aka BFFs.
Went for the running knee. Gulak, who knows Bryan so well, grabs him, rolls him up, shoulders down, and again a kick out of two.
Gulak very well scouted, able to avoid the running knee. Bryan right back to the bad leg, but Gulak able to avoid it, and he plants Daniel Bryan. Jackknife cover, shoulders down. Bryan able to roll through. Now he stacks up Drew Gulak, who kicks out at two.
This is such a joy to watch both of these athletes. Oh, the Gulak is, it's in.
The Gulak is applied.
Submission hold. The Dragon Sleeper applied now to Daniel Bryan. Is Bryan going to tap out to Drew Gulak? Middle of the ring, nowhere to go. Bryan trying to make it back to a vertical brace. And again, rolls through now.
Bryan rolling through and is looking for the yes lock.
Gulak, though, is not flattened out, so Bryan was not able to apply. Gulak rolls through, shoulders down again. Hooks. Oh, wait a minute. The referee's saying the shoulder was up.
Great awareness by our official. And Bryan, once again, for the Dragons. Oh, great counter by Gulak.
Yeah, but the leg's still bothering him, and this time picking the ankle is Daniel Bryan. Oh, my God! Did you see the way that Drew Gulak's leg and knee twisted off the move by Bryan? And now Daniel Bryan, middle of the ring.
Heel hook is in.
Is Gulak going to tap out to the heel hook? And Daniel Bryan, he can't get to the ropes, back to the center of the ring, trying to roll through now to the other side.
Daniel Bryan has the hands clasped. The submission is completed.
And
there it is.
Tap out by Gulak.
Here is your winner by submission, Daniel Bryan.
This was awesome. Technical, Matt, classic. This was maybe slightly better than Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle from NXT on Wednesday. I loved it. It was, I don't know if everybody else loved it, but yeah, they definitely had me hooked.
I saw Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle.
What'd you think about it?
I missed part of it because I didn't understand why he seemed so upset with me.
Oh, in the beginning. You missed the very beginning. Okay.
I was like, you can put whoever you want to in a match, but I don't know why he looked so mad.
Okay, so, you know, they were the tag team champions.
Yeah.
So they're in the match or whatever, and Timothy Thatcher's, you know, he's doing his deal. He's kind of got the dude in control, and the guy kind of bats him up towards the corner, and Matt Riddle tags himself in. So when he goes out of the ring, Thatcher's looking kind of like, what the fuck? You know, he's already feeling a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Matt Riddle gets in there, they start whooping his ass. And I mean, they're whooping his ass for like a good like 5 or 6 minutes. He's trying to make the tag. They keep cutting him off. So he finally gets some daylight, and then he takes one of the guys who's by his corner, and he like monkey flips him, where he monkey flips him right into Timothy Thatcher, and it like, you know, knocks him off the apron, and Timothy Thatcher's like, oh, fuck this, and he just walks off.
That makes sense, because he's not really the tag champion anyway. He's just there as a placeholder so the other guy can get back from the Rona.
Right, and so...
So there's really nothing in it for him. Like, if you're going to treat me bad, I'll leave.
And then Matt Riddle went and cried to Steven Regal, and Steven Regal gave him a match for later in the night, and that's what you saw.
So they're still champions, or they lost?
They lost.
No, but I like that, though. I like it when people realize there's really nothing in it for me. Like, I'm not really a champion, because as soon as young male Rhea Ripley comes back, because they have the same pace, when he comes back...
He's done.
Yeah, they're twins. Haven't you noticed?
Oh, gosh.
Look at them. Their hair's the same. Their face is the same. You just put lashes on Pete, and it's the same face. I think his jaw might be a little stronger. It's the same face. You haven't noticed. It's not your fault, but I'm correct.
Thank you.
Anyway, back to SmackDown. Post-match, Daniel Bryan says he wants to win the championship. Make it great again. Wait a minute. Talking about making shit great again. You know, thin ice, sir. And defend it every week. Okay, yeah, that part's fine. He shakes hands and hugs Drew Gulak. Yes, he hugs his best friend. So they say that next week there will be Bayley versus Charlotte, Otis and Mandy versus Dolph and Sonya. I want Dolph and Sonya to win and then kiss in the middle of the ring. Because what else is this but sexual tension? What? Why? They trying to have a threesome with Mandy? Poly love? Is that what this is? Male, female, male? And AJ Styles versus Nakamura. Come on, Nakamura. And Hardy versus Sheamus. Sonya promises to keep ruining Mandy's life next week. I'm telling you, they want to be in a threesome. She shit talks Mandy and says the only thing Mandy is good at is being blonde and pretty and mocking her future Life with Otis in a trailer. First of all, there are some very nice trailers out here. Okay. Let's be clear. Have you seen Tiny House? You can do amazing things with small spaces. Don't be that way. Anyway, Sonya says she has plans for her and will ruin her life and says she wants Mandy to show her why she deserves to share a ring with her. See, a wedding ring. You're not paying attention. It's got layers.
Right, right.
Thank you. Sonya was really good here.
Oh, Sonya was awesome right here. This is, yeah, I had a Monday Night Messiah moment. I saw the light. I was like, you know what? She's a very good talker. She could actually be a women's champion.
And Shade and Mo said, what? Told you so.
I can't, you know, I was a slow convert, but, you know, I've come around.
I mean, I'm still not there. I believe in you just because, you know, sure, why not? But I didn't see you.
Yeah, she was very good, though.
And I only have faith in brown people, so. Well, you know, brown people not named, you know, Tamina. Okay, so the fight. Wait. Also, this was Dolph's best work because he said what? Nothing.
Yeah, he was just in the background.
I enjoy Dolph Shade because I really only like brown hair Dolph. Blonde hair extension Dolph doesn't do it for me.
Interesting.
So he gives me, like, I need the wet, loose, curly brown. Like, the blonde is very, like, I'm from Ohio, but I want you to think I'm from LA. Like, it's very that. Like, I grew up on a farm, but I want you to think that I grew up surfing. Like, I'm very Tallahassee, but I want you to think I'm Miami. Like, it's that. Like, it's just, like, don't lie to me. I feel like it's lies. Instead of just, like, a choice. Like, I chose to have blonde hair. No, you're lying. Your hair ain't platinum. Get out of my face. Anyway, final match of the night. Miz and the Morrison versus Otis. And Braun did agree. So he is the tag partner. Miz grounds things. Otis fights, but Morrison tags in. Otis, the thug, suplexes them both. He tags in Braun. He runs everybody over and runs wild as he tosses Miz around. To the floor they go, and Braun chases Morrison.
Hold on. So he goes to do the shoulder blocks, right?
Yeah.
So he jumps out the ring, and when he turns the corner, Morrison is the first one he sees. Mm-hmm. How about this fool jump over the guardrail where the fans would usually be? It was like, nope. It was hilarious. And then he just like was like, Braun was like, didn't even break stride. Was like, okay, can't hit him. Just bowled over the Miz.
I've always appreciated that Morrison is just a clever kind of guy. You love the smarties. Because it's like, I know I can't really, like, take it, so I'll just run. But back in the ring, Braun posts himself because, you know, he's got too much energy. That's what he does. Morrison, there's a child yelling in the hallway.
I hear them.
Yeah.
Where's that baby's mama?
Sounds like she's right beside him, being a horrible person. Like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, I understand social distancing, but if your child want to scream that bad, we got grass outside. We actually have a fence. Go put her in there and let her scream. Like, she's screaming in the echoey ass hallway. I'm so glad I'm not a mandated reporter anymore. Like, I sometimes be like, I should probably say something to somebody. But I don't got no details. And I don't want any. It's none of my business. Oh, shit. I hope nothing bad happens to the baby. Hopefully she was just having a 5:30 tantrum. Anyway, Braun posted himself, like I said. Morrison tags in and hits a disaster kick. Morrison, however, then runs into the power slam by Braun for the win. So, post-match, Mandy arrives and Otis teases cashing in, but says he's just kidding and hugs Mandy. Who would he cash in on?
Braun. Yeah.
Please. He ain't that stupid, is he?
Well, they tried to set it up. They tried it.
Listen. If you thought
Mandy Rose came out there in those high-waisted shorts.
we enjoy a high-waisted short. It does a lot for the woman.
Yeah, it does. It sure does.
Maybe Charlotte should try a high-waisted short.
She tries, but you gotta have something insinuating the waist.
The problem with Charlotte is she's worried about the face, when that's not really the game of concern at this point. Like, she didn't need to do half of the work she did up there. It was down below.
Now, you know, let's see if we can get some high-waisted shorts on Bailey. Now, that would be worth the price of admission.
Oh, Bailey would look amazing. She's got a little bit of a cake situation. You know?
Yeah, a little bit of a cake situation. Quite the understatement.
Well, listen, I'm comparing them to me. So. JK. I mean, not really.
Not JK. Really, but
not
yeah.
Really, but yeah.
There's a lot of truth in jokes and sarcasm.
Anyway, that's your SmackDown for the week.
Yeah, this was actually a very, to me, enjoyable edition of SmackDown. It only had one messed up part, and that was Naomi losing.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Everything else was quite enjoyable. Otis getting his shine as Mr. Money in the Bank. That was pretty good. Drew Gulak, Daniel Bryan, off the chart. Loved it. Your man Elias doing Elias things to Corbin.
Yeah, Elias just... Yeah.
Sonya Deville
does it for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know he does.
Yes, he does.
Sonya Deville and her promo, bueno, A1. So, yeah, there's lots of like on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to like. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to this week's edition of SmackDown? Or NXT? You saw what happened to Finn Balor?
No, I didn't see what happened to Finn Balor. What happened to Finn Balor?
Your guy, Punishment Martinez. He revealed himself as the one who attacked him.
Oh, yeah, I did see that part.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. So is Punishment Martinez the one who attacked him or the one who attacked everybody?
He attacked Finn.
Oh. I want to know who attacked everybody.
He got that nightstick.
Well, I mean, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know about it. I'm back on Elias because that's what matters to me. His last name is Shulo, and he's from Pittsburgh. Our fave Randy Savage last name is Poffo, and he's from Ohio.
Oh, he's from Ohio?
He's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Ohio and Pittsburgh are very close.
Yes, they are.
I'm just saying.
Super sleuth on the case.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't be totally out of the way.
D.D. Lansbury.
Listen, I'm not saying that's the case because I don't know. I'm just saying, it's not totally out of the realm of possibilities. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, it's in the right area.
I got you.
And they look exactly alike.
Did you happen to catch any of AEW this week?
Did I?
Let me see what would have stood out. Oh, Chris Jericho beating up the drone with the baseball bat?
Yes, I saw them beat up the drone.
Did you see the match with Pineapple Pete? Right before that, where he wrestled the black dude, where Jericho wrestled the black dude, Pineapple Pete?
No, but I heard them talking about the name Pineapple Pete. He's like, that's not my name, but I'll go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah. I'll be Pineapple Pete.
Mm-hmm. Cha-ching. Yeah, so that was really what the standout was. Jericho beating up the drone.
I mean, what did the drone ever do to anybody?
He refused to be in the inner circle.
First of all, Elias's clothes look like Randy Savage's clothes. Wait a minute.
The red and yellow?
Yes. Looking like a Slim Jim. I see it. First of all, the way that you don't tell people things is if you tell people things. If you make it obvious, nobody understands and nobody believes you because you've made it so obvious. Have you ever noticed that?
I think I have, yes.
It's just like, you just tell people. And then they're like, what? And they're like, but I told you. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, but I thought you were joking. I know. Boom. I think I'm right. Like, I'm willing to move my eggs out of the whole Adam Cole HBK basket and go all in on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pushing all the chips to the middle on Elias and Randy Savage.
Yeah. You know, the older he gets, the less he looks like Sean. But Elias looks like Randy Savage. Body's about the same. Hairline's a little different, but that was the 80s. Men didn't take care of themselves like that.
Be interesting to see his ancestry DNA, huh?
Listen. I know he's Italian. His last name is Shulo. But if he's also a little bit Jewish, if he got some family in Ohio, then I am all in and I can be like, told you so.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
Absolutely I would.
Not you.
Would I?
Not you.
Would I?
I wouldn't think that would be beneath someone of your stature and grace.
My stature. I'm 5 foot 2. Nothing's beneath my stature.
5 foot 2. Do you qualify as fun size?
How dare you? Actually, I probably do at this point. Yeah, like, you can pick me up. He's like, put me down. Actually, my friend did pick me up once, and I was like, oh,
no,
my God,
No Melvin from Baby Boy status on.
I've never seen Baby Boy. I love myself. So, who's Melvin?
You gotta. If you've never seen Baby Boy, you don't know.
I don't know. All I know is I hate you, Jody. That's all I know. I feel like that's gotten me pretty far.
You gotta. They played it for like 24 hours on BET when the quarantine first started.
What makes you think I watch BET? What makes you think I even know what channel BET comes on?
You gotta see it at least one time. Just sacrifice an hour and a half of your day and understand. Oh. So you can come back and tell me the reference when I be like, no Melvin situations.
They are so disrespectful. So Elias has to face the winner of the AJ Nakamura match. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Because if it's AJ, he's going to lose. And I don't want him facing Nakamura at all. This is why I can't have nice things.
Well, at this time, Miss Dee Dee, it's time for your shout outs and thank yous.
Oh, shout out to Jade. She says her leg is fine.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah. Shout out to Tati. Shout out to Chairman. Shout out to Mel, because Mel still always gets shout outs. Shout out to all the gorgeous ladies of the WrestleCast. Shout out to Jay. Who else? Shout out to you, Greg, the baby, Sam.
All right. Continue to support the CSPN by going over to cspn.us. Click on the tab that says keep our podcast free at the top of the page. Please support our sponsors. Buy something from them during this quarantine. Get some toilet paper or some paper towels delivered to your house through amazon.com. But first, go through cspn.us so some of that money can come back and keep the podcast free each and every week. Also, check out new episodes of The Dark Match and The Push over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. And also, subscribe to SmackDown Matters through the WrestleCast feed. All you have to do is search for The WrestleCast-The CSPN. So I'd like to give a shout out to my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet, everyone who uses the hashtag SmackDown Matters each and every Friday, all the members of the GLOW, the WrestlePays, everybody who listens to the CSPN each and every week. We greatly appreciate it. Remember, if you want to be a guest on this show, the People Show, Miss Dee Dee Jonet Show, you must rate and review first and then reach out to us. We like to hear your pro wrestling commentary with color. And on that note, for our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jonet, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 6 of SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
So here I am on Friday Night SmackDown, being the hardest working woman in the industry. No. I know what you're thinking. Charlotte, how is it possible that you're working all three brands? Well, the answer's simple. The numbers were crunched. The conclusion was clear. People want more Charlotte Flair. So, of course, Fox used the brand-to-brand invitation to have me here tonight. I mean, I'm 5'10". I'm blonde. I'm a superior athlete. I know I'm forgetting something. Oh, and my last name is Flair. Not to mention that I won 5 of my 12 title reigns here on SmackDown. I mean, I'm actually surprised there's not a giant picture hanging right here of me to inspire all the competitors that step through these ropes. The greatest, the queen, Charlotte.
Well, I guess the Fox executives, you know, obviously got a thing for blondes, or they're like all the other sheep out there. They just go crazy because you're Ric Flair's daughter, right? Woo! Woo! Come on, Michael! Woo! Woo! You know better than anyone that a champion's got to do what a champion's got to do to get the job done, right? I know you're just really mad because that night, the last time we saw each other, was when I became the first and only Women's Grand Slam champion in the WWE. Boom! Roasted! So, why don't you go back to NXT? You know, give all the young hopefuls someone to look up to. You know you're the queen, dude! Or, you go back to Monday Night Raw and you can beat Liv Morgan over and over again for all I care. Because this is SmackDown. This is our show. The leaders, the role models, and I am the greatest, most dominant SmackDown Women's Champion in history.
Bailey. Some things never change. Sasha made you relevant when you were the NXT Women's Champion. And now, she's the only reason you're the SmackDown Women's Champion. Excuse me. We main evented the first Raw together. We main evented the first pay-per-views together. You're a 6-time Women's Champion, a future Hall of Famer, the boss, the blueprint, the standard. And you're telling me that you're content standing in Bailey's corner? That you're content being an afterthought?
Man, Shirley, shut the hell up. An egomaniac like you would never understand a friendship like this,
can
right?
Someone in the truck please cut Bailey's mic? Please? Someone? So, Miss Banks can talk?
You know what? Enough talk. Because now I'm ready to fight. What do you say, huh? Champion versus champion.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm sure Fox would love to have me on their show again. So, challenge accepted. But I have, I have one question.
What, Charlotte? You've taken up too much time already.
The question isn't for you. So please, move out of my way. Please? Are you your own woman? Or are you just going to be Bailey's lackey and happy being an afterthought?